I think we might be live. Are we live? Thanks, Kyle.
Oh, great.
Okay, well, hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to see you in person. I know I've talked to you on the phone and Zoom or GMeet or one of those.
So one of those virtual meeting things that we all hang out in these days. Yeah. One of those. Yeah, it's great to see you in person, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm sure people get from your accent, you probably think we have an accent.
Oh, yeah.
That you're Southern.
Right. Yeah. I'm from South Carolina originally, but I've really lived out on the West Coast since I was like 26. Well, let me take that back. I lived in Colorado. I got on a Greyhound bus when I was 26 and decided I wanted to leave the South for forever. So, and I'd never learned how to ski. So I was like, oh, Colorado, that's where you go to learn how to snowboard, really. And I took a Greyhound bus out there and never went back home. So I moved from Colorado eventually to San Francisco, where I lived for about 15 years. And then I moved to Portland in 2015. But I still got this accent. It throws people off. But I'm like, I'm liberal Southern Belle. What am I going to do? I can't lose the accent.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about people calling you ma'am.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. And how usually I think they're trying to be respectful. But once you get a certain age, it's like, wait a minute. Are you trying to say that I'm old here, you youngster?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen you party. You told me you're going out tonight. You're 50 and have more energy than I do. So.
Well, it's funny because I chose you, Michael, in your podcast over Duran Duran tonight in L.A.
Oh,
that was my original invitation. They're playing at a casino outside of L.A.
That's both sweet and that sounds like a guilt trip.
So. A little bit. I had to guilt trip you a little bit. No, I couldn't go to that. That was like too far away and too expensive and everything.
I love all that. Flock of Seagulls.
Oh,
Duran Duran,
all the 80s bands.
All of it.
They're so good. And we're really lucky here in Portland because we have a lot of great 80s covers bands. I went to this party a few weeks ago. It was actually a benefit for AMP. Have you heard of this? Artist Mentoring Program, I think is what AMP stands for. Long story, they have a benefit concert every year, and they have about 8 to 10 local bands. It's called From Smiths to Smithereens.
Oh, wow.
And these 8 bands just get up there and play all the 80s music. I mean, everything from heavy metal to pop. Thompson Twins
that
to Black
amazing.
Sabbath. I mean, yeah, and it raises money for
Cindy
a really
Lauper.
Great cause. Cindy Lauper. I mean, anybody you can name from the 80s, I think I heard it that night. Oh, and then Storm Large showed up at the end of the
Storm
night.
Was great.
Storm was amazing. I'd never heard her live before. It was just an amazing night, but we're lucky here. Like, we've got so much great, you know, live music to choose from.
Yeah.
So
you ended up in Portland.
Yep.
What drove you to get on that bus when you were 26?
Just a new way of life, I think. I mean, you know, the South definitely has its good and its bad parts. And I just lived in the South all my life, you know, as a little kid up until I was 26. And I honestly wanted to learn how to snowboard. I really did. My parents never took me to the mountains on a ski vacation. And I mean, maybe 26 is the time to do these kinds of things where it's like, I don't have a real like job yet or a real career going on. So I'm just going to get on this bus and take an adventure. I like adventures. That's really where that comes from, I think. I like to have fun. Life is for the living. You know, it's too short as it is. So I'm like, well, let's just go have some fun and see what turns out. And, you know, I stayed out there for about 5 years. I had a good time. Lived in the ski resorts. Did learn how to snowboard, actually. That was good. And then I ended up going to school and becoming a teacher. I'd already had my English degree. I decided I wanted to teach. So I went to Metropolitan State College of Denver and go Avs, by the way. Big
Abs?
Hockey fan. Mm-hmm, the Avalanche.
Oh, Avalanche.
Abs.
I thought you said Abs. Like their motto or their slogan or their,
like abs,
their logo
like,
was like a six pack.
No, I don't think so. Abs. Avalanche. See, the accent's getting in the way again. So, you know, I had a great time out there. And then I moved to the Bay Area and became an English teacher.
And what was that like?
Yep, living in the Bay Area.
Well, it's expensive and there's traffic, but what was the being an English teacher like?
It was super fun. I mean, I jokingly tell my friends, have you seen Dead Poets Society?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
most of us have, the classic. I jokingly say that I taught at a school that was like the school in Dead Poets Society, but on the West Coast. So college prep school, all boys, Jesuit, but with a West Coast flair. So maybe not as like uptight as some of those East Coast schools, but still, you know, all the kids were pretty wealthy. You know, they're the sons of the Silicon Valley Titans, and definitely wasn't what I had in mind being my first English teaching job, but I loved it. You know, I taught freshmen, sophomores, juniors. I taught Holocaust literature, which is this really cool elective that they let me teach. And that was just amazing. And, you know, just I think sometimes there's a stereotype that boys don't like to read, right? I think we could say that. But in this case, it wasn't true. A lot of them actually did like to read, or they pretended they liked to read. I mean, so yeah, it was good. And then I left that and I went and taught English in Prague in the Czech Republic. I did like a whole TEFL course and did that. I mean, I love literature and English and reading. You know, I've loved reading since I was, you know, 5 years old. So anything that has to do with that and where I can like help people, you know, with their English or help them read, I'm all about it. Like, that's my passion.
Yeah. I mean, reading opens doors.
Yep.
And you not only see people like you with, if there's representation reading, but you see them doing all sorts of things. And, you know, I think of like Oprah, how had it not been for books that opened her mind, she wouldn't have realized that there was a whole other way or a whole other life.
That's right. That's right. There's a famous educator, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on her name right now. She's African-American, and she has this great quotation about reading, and it's, reading should be either a window. So, you know, so a window in a book, right, is like looking through that window into somebody else's life, or it should be a mirror. So you're seeing yourself in the pages of a book. You know, you might be thinking, oh, there's nobody else like me, feeling kind of left out or whatever. And then you can read a book and be like, oh, you know, there's me. And then she also says that books can be sliding glass doors where you're actually going into the world instead of just looking at it. And I just think that's so cool. Like mirrors, windows, sliding glass doors. That's reading.
And doggy doors.
No. Doggy doors. which makes me think of something else, but I don't know. Should I talk about? I love dogs too.
Yeah, I do too.
Do you both have dogs?
Yeah, we have two dogs.
Oh, you have two dogs. What kind of dogs do you have?
They're both rescue mutts.
Cute. Did you get them from the Humane Society or
Edison
where?
And Ginsburg. Edison is from Hood River Adopt a Dog.
Okay.
Hood River.
Yep.
Ginsburg is from a rescue in Texas called Hope and Faith. She literally came here from Texas.
She did?
Yeah.
She came from Texas to Portland?
Yeah. That's so a big change. Rescued in Texas. Then she was in foster. Then she was in a van with like 10 other dogs.
Whoa.
But yeah, so both.
She went through a lot.
Both adorable.
I'm sure.
Rescue dogs.
I think I may have seen a picture of them maybe.
You probably have somewhere. Because I take thousands of pictures.
I think I have seen them. Like even on the page for like your business maybe. I'm like, have I seen your dogs there? Maybe.
It's possible.
Yeah. They're everywhere. They're famous.
I used to post pictures. Now we have two. I used to post pictures of Edison and I would call him my paw legal. So it would be like a picture of him like at my laptop, like doing work.
And he's got like a pair of glasses on.
What about your dogs? What kind of dogs do you have?
I don't have dogs. I take care of everybody else's animals.
Okay.
So I live in a pretty tiny one-bedroom apartment here in Portland, which I love, by the way, but no pets. And as a side hustle, I'm really lucky. I live in people's homes when they go on vacation and take care of their animals.
That's awesome.
Cats and dogs. It's so much fun. So this past summer, I had a gig. A family was in China all summer because the mom was a professor and she was learning about Chinese film. I was like, can you please take me with you? Maybe like find another pet sitter. But no, I took care of a dog all summer for 2 months and it was amazing. And I'm pretty booked like over the holidays. They're kind of like little staycations.
Yeah.
And you get to like love and play and snuggle with the animals. And then you get paid and then you say, bye. I'll see you in a month or so. But yeah, I love animals. They're great. Super fun.
Yeah. Well, you seem like a great lady. You love books and you love animals.
What else is there? Yeah. I also love coffee.
Oh, you love music.
And
80s
like music. Yeah.
And you love 80s music. Some people don't like 80s music.
What's wrong with them?
How do you not love 80s music?
What is wrong with you? Yeah. I think my sister might be one of those people. I'm like, do we have the same parents? Like,
yeah. I think maybe they're afraid to lean into 80s because they might just fall in love and never come out.
Yeah. I think my sister made a comment one time. She's like, it's just so uninteresting. And I was like, how can you say that? Like, there's so many different genres, I feel like, in a 10-year time period. Maybe she was just talking about, like, hair metal bands or something. Maybe I'm misquoting her.
Well, we'll continue our encouraging of 80s music.
We shall.
So,
yes.
Okay, so you were a teacher at a boys' school.
Yeah.
And it was a private boys' school?
Yes, college prep school.
And then where did your teaching go from there?
Yeah.
You said you went to Prague?
I did go to Prague. I didn't stay in Prague that long. I was only there for maybe like half a year. It got way too cold for me in the winter, I'm not going to lie. Like, I totally wussed out. Like, I thought I was going to spend a couple years there, and then I was like, oh, no, I can't deal with this winter. And it came on fast, right? It came on, I remember, at, like, the beginning of October. And the friends that I'd made, I was like, so what's the winter like? And they're like this for, like, 7 months. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to deal with this. Because, I mean, I was coming from the Bay Area where it's, you know, much warmer. So I moved back to San Francisco and I got married to a lawyer. I'm also a paralegal, by the way. Oh, I forgot to mention that. Before I moved out west, I also got a paralegal degree in Atlanta, Georgia. My dad was a lawyer, and I think people were like, what are you going to do with an English degree if you're not going to teach? Because that time I didn't have a teaching degree. So that's why I went and I got a paralegal degree to like fall back on, right? So I ended up going back to the Bay Area and working for law firms, actually. So that was also interesting. Worked for some pretty big firms. I also co-owned a law firm with my ex-husband. And so that was an interesting experience. And yeah, so my life completely changed. Didn't realize I was going to be doing all that, but that's what happened. So there you go.
And how did, I want to say bookmobile, but you are the bookmobile babe.
I started the bookmobile babe in 2018. And it was just me. So I did call it the Bookmobile Babe because I honestly, Michael, did not foresee it becoming what it has become. Like, I have this amazing team of people now that are on my board, our board, and that help me, right? So that's why I called it the Bookmobile Babe, because I thought, well, there's only one of me. So I am the Bookmobile Babe. Really, now we're just Bookmobile Babe. No, the. And, you know, we're full on 501c3 now. And, gosh, we probably have over 6,000 books in our storage units. Our van did get stolen this summer, unfortunately, which was a bummer. So we're raising money to buy a new bookmobile. This is exciting news. I don't know if I've told you this. We are buying a Japanese fire truck and turning it into a bookmobile.
Oh, wow.
Have you seen one of those?
I don't think I have.
They're super cute. You'll have to Google it later. Pretty tiny.
Sounds like an Urban Dictionary term.
No, it doesn't even sound real. You're like, Christy, are you just making up words now? Yeah, it's a real thing. And there's a dealership in Seattle that kind of specializes in them. And I drove up there a couple months ago and looked at the inventory, and I found one that I think would be perfect for us. It's got a siren. It'll have a gate in the back where kids can climb up, and then we'll build bookshelves where the hose and everything usually is. So I think it's going to be great. And we have until November 19th to buy it. So we're about halfway to our goal, by the way. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about fundraising on this podcast.
Yeah, get that money.
Yeah, get that money, girl. So we're bookmobilebabe.com is our website. And if you go to our website, the very first thing you'll see is donate to our GoFundMe. And so you can click on that link and any little bit helps. So we think it's going to cost about $20,000 total to buy the truck and then do the renovations. And we're at about $11,000 right now.
So how did the Bookmobile Babe, mm-hmm. and now it's Bookmobile Babe.
Yeah.
Get started. And what was it then? And where is it becoming? Because I don't know if folks that are listening, they know about it, which...
Sure. They might not.
They might not, right?
Yeah. It's a perfect time to tell them what it is. Y'all are sitting out there going, what is she talking about?
Japanese
fire trucks? I already told you about my love of reading and my teaching background. When I moved to Portland from San Francisco, I didn't know anybody. Again, it was kind of like not as crazy as jumping on a Greyhound bus from Georgia to Colorado. But, you know, I sold all my stuff in San Francisco. I decided San Francisco was just too expensive for me as a single lady. And I literally sold everything except for my car at the time and drove up in my car to Portland. So when I got here, I did not know anybody. And what I did was I just started doing different kinds of activities to make friends. Seriously. I mean, I think as we get older, it's harder to make friends, by the way. Right? It's not like when we were kids. So anyway, I started volunteering at the library. I started taking acting classes. I kept on pet sitting. Like, I was just doing all this stuff. And during the course of volunteering at the library, Multnomah County Library, by the way, which I love, I don't know. It's just like...
I don't think anybody's ever shouted out a county library.
We have a great library system here.
Where my library's at.
Yeah, exactly. No, we have a great
librarians.
System. Librarians, raise your hands. So I was kind of talking to a librarian one day when I was volunteering, and we were talking about bookmobiles from our childhoods, because I don't know about you growing up, but in South Carolina, we had a bookmobile.
Scholastic, right? Or some of them were Scholastic.
Probably some of them were Scholastic, and some were from like the county library. Like mine was from the county library, and it would come to our neighborhood and we could actually check out books. And then it would come back around the next week and you'd give them the books back and get new books. It was pretty cool. So we were talking about that. And then I just asked my newfound friend, well, does Multnomah County, does Portland have a bookmobile? And she said, oh, no, I think the funding got cut a long time ago. And I was like, oh, that's a bummer.
Which is strange because it seems like one of the most Portland things.
It totally does. I was really kind of disappointed. I was like, oh, that's too bad. And I didn't really think that much about it, honestly. And it may have been a month or so later. And by the way, at the time I was working for a law firm. So I'd gotten a law firm job in Portland that I didn't particularly enjoy. I'm not going to lie. We won't say the name of the firm, but I wasn't living my best life there. I'll say that. And I was working at this law firm and I came home one night exhausted. And I had this very vivid dream that I was driving a bookmobile. And it was so vivid. I don't know. Have you ever had a dream that you wake up and you think you're still in the dream?
Yeah, that's happened.
You know? So I
also wake up and I don't know what time it is, especially during this time of the year.
What I'm like, day it is.
Is it morning?
Night?
It's still yesterday's night. Okay.
Because I fell asleep at 7 o'clock on the couch. Yeah. So where am I with this? Oh, yeah. So I was having
this
very vivid dream.
So you're at a law firm that you didn't really like.
Yeah,
you
had this vivid dream.
You got home. You had this vivid dream. You were driving a bookmobile.
And I wake up, and I still think I'm living in the dream, and I'm looking for the keys, Michael, to my bookmobile. Like, literally walking around my little apartment, like, where are my keys? I gotta go. Gotta give the kids the books. And then I literally had to stop. I was getting dressed. I had, like, gotten whatever keys I had, and I was in my closet, and then I was like, no, this is a dream. Like, snap out of it. You're going to the law firm. You don't have a bookmobile, you crazy girl. And then I was immediately like, but you should have a bookmobile, talking to myself. And I went to the law firm that day, and I'd made some friends at the firm, and I just started kind of running the idea past them, especially my friends who have kids. I don't have kids, but everybody I know for the most part seems to have kids. And I was just kind of like, hey, what do you think about this? Do you think your kids would like this? What do you think? All that kind of stuff. And so I was getting the data, right? And it was overwhelmingly positive that I should do this from my friends. And one thing led to another, because at this point, I felt like I knew everybody in town. Like, I'd gotten myself, Michael, involved in so many different things. I was like, I know everybody, and I can have a bookmobile, and everybody will come to it. One thing led to another. I met a woman who works at Southeast Uplift, which is a great organization. And I told her about my idea. And you have to understand, at this time, I did not have a car. I had sold my car. And she was
Well, you had an Oscar Mayer mobile.
A weenie mobile. And so my friend was like, at Southeast Uplift, she was like, well, do you know that we here in Portland have an amazing program with the Parks and Rec called Free Lunch and Play? Again, shout out to the parks in Portland. Not only do we have great libraries.
Where are my
great,
Parks and Rec folks?
Where are my Parks
at?
And Rec folks? Gotta love it. We have a great park
Leslie
system.
Leslie Snope. That's
right. So this woman was like, talk to so-and-so at the parks. Tell him what you want to do. He's not going to care that you don't have a car. I bet that you can work something out with him where you maybe go to the park in the summer and give out some books. Just show up with some books and give them out. And I was like, okay, kind of skeptical. Like, it's not really what I want to do, but whatever. Long story, I made friends with the parks. This is back in 2018. We worked at Creston and Lentz Parks that summer. I amassed a small volunteer group. And by the way, I had already gotten over like 1,000 books from my friends with kids. Because once I told them about the bookmobile idea, everybody was like, take my books. Take my books that my kids no longer want and do with them what you will, you crazy bookmobile girl. And I was like, without a bookmobile. And I was like, okay. So I'm living in this tiny one-bedroom apartment, Michael, and like half the room is just stacked with books because I have nowhere to put them. I don't have a car. But I started taking them out to the parks, and they started disappearing. And then kids would bring me books that they didn't want. So it was like a book exchange. And it was a hit. It was an absolute hit in two parks. So, of course, then the next year, the parks came back, and they're like, we want you back out here again. And so—
Do they call you by your name, or do they call you Bookmobile Babe?
I think they just call me Bookmobile Babe. I don't think they know I have a name. Or BB for short. BB. You can just call me BB, Michael. See, now you don't have to remember my name anymore. Okay. Just BB. And, you know, so that's kind of how we started. And because of that partnership with the parks, more and more people know us. They love us. People we meet at the park who work for all the wonderful other nonprofits in Portland. Shout out to all the nonprofits, too, by the way, that we now partner with. Which is so cool, right? So it's like we're learning about all these other nonprofits that need our help and vice versa, maybe. So like we work with Human Solutions, which is now called Our Just Future. We do a lot of work with the Gateway Business Association. So they're out near Gateway Discovery Park. We've just gotten introduced through the years to so many different folks who are doing such good work that we want to be a part of. And it's really great because reading can pretty fit easily into most anything, really. I mean, or at least I think it can. I make a way for it to fit. How's that? So yeah, we're just super lucky, and I'm super grateful to be running this now. We became a full-on 501c3 as of May 2021. And then the van got stolen. By the way, a couple had donated their van to us along the way, and that was great. So we're using that as an actual bookmobile. And then, like I said, it got stolen this summer. So we're raising money to buy the fire truck, which is great. And lastly, we also have an opportunity now to have a brick and mortar near Gateway Discovery Park on Halsey. And the cool thing about that is, by the way, we're reviewing the lease like as we speak, right? I should be at home reviewing that lease right now, actually, instead of going out later. But the cool thing about that is it's not only
going to— reviewing a commercial lease or going out? What?
Yeah, that's a hard one. Ooh, big decision. It's not only going to be a used bookstore partially, but we want to have it be a community space and like a learning center. So the way that libraries, there's a whole wave, right, for libraries now across the country where libraries are not just places to sit and read, right, or not just places to go use the internet, where they're actually community spaces and maker spaces where kids can learn how to make magazines, make music, make art. So we want to, it's a 3,000 square foot building. It's pretty big. And we think we have a lot of opportunity to do some really cool things there for that community. The building sits in between two school districts, David Douglas and Parkrose, and there's like 5,000 kids who go to school in those districts, and there aren't any bookstores, Michael. No bookstores. Very few libraries around there. I mean, the library branches that are there are either under construction right now or maybe still doing virtual programming because of COVID. Again, the libraries are wonderful. Not coming down on them at all. But there really aren't any bookstores. So we think we have a great opportunity there.
So. Yeah, I love it. I think it's great. And what you said about it's not just a bookstore, it's community space.
Yeah,
I think it's really important, especially since people learn in different ways. And
that's right.
Also not feeling alone. So being somewhere where you can hang out after school or you can talk to friends or you can have some sort of community event.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple things. Okay. One of them is representation in books, because I know that that's a really important thing. We talked about that when we first started talking.
Yeah.
Do you think that representation in books is getting better?
From what I can tell, I would say yes, because, and I just say that because I remember the way books were, remember I'm 50, but so I remember the way books used to be. Like when I was growing up, I didn't see the diverse books that I see out there today that the bookmobile is distributing. There's such a wide range of books out there now for kids of all cultures, I feel like. Now, is it completely solved? Absolutely not, right? We need more and more of them, and we certainly don't need for them to keep getting banned.
That was my next question. How dare you? My next question was, what does Bookmobile Babe think about banned books?
Oh, we absolutely do not believe in banning any books. I mean, we are very anti-banned books. Banned Books Week was about a month ago, I think. And we did a whole thing on our Instagram where each member of our board and community recommended a banned book to read. And it was interesting to hear what other banned books are out there that people encourage others to read. It's just kind of ridiculous. And unfortunately, you know, I think reading can get very political, right? And so I think politicians, I don't think it's a huge problem in Portland, but I think in more conservative parts of the country, it's really gotten to be a big problem. The American Library Association, ALA, I follow them and keep up with them.
Shout out to ALA.
Who have we not given a shout out to?
Nonprofits, librarians, ALA.
Parks and Rec. You know, I think...
Japanese fire truck sellers.
Let's not forget about them. Japanese firemen. I mean, hello. And fire women, probably.
Fire women, yeah.
I'm sure. I hope.
Or however they identify.
Whoever they may be. It's totally great. I don't know. I just, the banned books thing, it's really, my point about ALA was, I think they came out with a statistic earlier this year that in the past year, there's never been as many banned books as there have been in the past year, like in the history of America.
What do you think the thing is? Do you think it's that books give people either the truth or another viewpoint, and the viewpoint they may get from the book is not a viewpoint that aligns with what they want their kid to read?
I think it's probably both. I think it's all of the above, but more heavily on the latter, I think, that they don't want their kid exposed, right? And the truth of the matter is, you tell a kid they can't read something, that's going to make them want to read it even more.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's like, go ahead.
They're in the alley selling crack, and they're like, here's a copy of Catcher in the Rye.
Give me your Catcher in the Rye for 1984. Let's exchange banned books. We totally don't believe in banning any books. Speaking of representation, I'd like to say some more about that,
if
that's okay. So I do think that's very important. I think it's very important also because, you know, I'm a white woman, right? I grew up in the South. People might make some assumptions about me based on those two things, right? But I'm not here, by the way, to be the white savior, you know, saving the masses with diverse literature, which I have been accused of lately. by a few folks who don't know me that well and don't know the Bookmobile Babe that well. That's absolutely not who we think we are or what we aspire to be. I am now very good friends with several local booksellers in town. Am I allowed to shout them out?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, great. Okay. So I love my folks at Wallace Books. Julie Wallace is amazing. I love my people at Books with Pictures.
What? Julie Wallace? What? Books with Pictures.
Kate, who runs Books with Pictures. Books with Pictures, speaking of diversity, if you haven't been there, you might like... Do you like comics? Graphic novels?
Sometimes. Andy's a little more into that.
Might want to tell Andy to go to Books with Pictures.
You know, I'm the person who reads like a Doris Kearns Goodwin 800-page book about Lincoln or...
You're into history books?
Yeah, or like social justice thing. Like on vacation, Andy's like, why are you reading about children in Africa? And I'm like,
because I like it. Don't take my book away. Books with Pictures, it's like I call it the candy store for reading, because you go in there, it's very beautifully decorated and colored, and it's all comics and graphic novels, and it's awesome. All so diverse. Like you'll be reading a book about kids of all colors and cultures, for instance, in a drama club at their school, and they feel like the outcast, and then they start a basketball team, you know, and it's called like the Misfits of the Drama Club start a basketball team. It's like the most diverse thing I've ever read. And it's just so very coolly illustrated. And just that's just one example. And I can't remember the name of the book right now. Kate would know what I'm talking about. Anyway, these are the kinds of books that we really promote. We, like I said earlier, back to that quotation about mirrors, windows, and sliding glass doors, we always try to provide an array of books because we never know who's going to show up, by the way. I mean, we might have an inkling depending on the event, right? Depending on who we're partnering with. We might say, hey, who are the kids that are coming? And sometimes they'll be like, I don't know. And then other times they'll be like, here are the age ranges. Here might be some of the cultures, but a lot of the time it's a guessing game. So we just always, and we never say, you have to read this. We're not prescriptive at all. It's always like we provide a wide array of choices and we let the kids pick. You know, we might have some recommendations, but we're going to ask them what they like to read first. You know, we're not going to make assumptions.
How does that work? Do they bring it back? Like library? Do they keep the book? Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So that's a really interesting thing about us. So we're not a true bookmobile in that kids don't check out books from us. Like I said, we've got over 6,000 books. We don't want those books back. Can I just be real? Like, I want the kids to have the books. And the adults to have the books. We have books for adults, by the way. Give it up for adults. Woot, woot.
Books for adults might be read a different way.
Right. That's right. Well, don't say adult books. Say books for adults. Right. You know, so no, they don't have to bring them back. And that's a question we get asked all the time. So I'm glad that you asked that. They're always like, kids will be like, well, when do I have to give this back to you? Like with a real look of like concern and sometimes fear is on their face, I feel like. And I'm like, no, that's yours to keep. And that's really one of the joys of doing this, because some kids don't have a lot of books.
Yeah, that's true.
I take it for granted. Growing up, I had a library in my house. Not all kids have that. And, you know, there is this, you know, something about checking out books and having to get it back on time or else you might face a fine. Like that can be a little bit of a detriment, right? So it feels really, really good to be able to just give a book to a kid and just say, hey, you can keep this forever. And then we always say, hey, and maybe if you're done and you don't want to keep it, give it to a friend, pass it around, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's really important. The idea of owning the book.
And it is. It truly is.
So I was just wondering, you know, you as a child, you said you had a library growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, were you the type that would just tell your family, like, don't bother me, I'm going to go read?
Pretty much. I mean, I hate to use the word nerdy, but like, I just love to read. I love to go to the library. I love to get like 20 books at a time, read them all in a weekend, and then go back on Monday and get some more. Like, that's what I wanted to do. And I grew up in like a pretty busy family. And so I think that was like my me time, right? It was like my Christie time when I could just go be with a book. And so, yeah, I mean, I love to read. I love to do all kinds of other stuff too when I was a kid, but like reading was probably my favorite activity.
And is there a book that you remember reading that, you know, resonated or?
Oh, there's so many. Gosh, there's so many. There's one called Where the Red Fern Grows, which is just amazing. And then The Bridge to Terabithia, which I think they made a movie about a few years ago. I didn't want to see it because I'm like, oh, that's going to ruin it for me. And I think both of those are kind of like, I don't want to say painful stories, but they're kind of like coming of age stories. Catcher in the Rye was huge, right, in high school. There were some Judy Blume books that were instrumental.
Like Ramona and...
Well, there's Beverly Cleary, who's from Portland, and those books were also huge for me. So Beverly Cleary passed away a year or so ago, I think. She was like 100 years old. She was amazing. She wrote the Ramona books. Then Judy Blume wrote like... Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, and Forever, and some other kind of some really great books for teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you say books mean to you? I mean, if I said like, what is a book? I mean, it's bounded paper with words, but what is a book to you?
Yeah. I honestly think it's an adventure. I think it goes back to my love of having an adventure. And when I read a book, I feel like I'm on an adventure. You know, I'm either on the adventure with the main character, but I don't know where we're going. So that's kind of interesting. And, it makes me curious. Like, where are we going? How is this going to end? I would say an adventure.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
I have 5 questions for you. These are the questions that I ask every guest.
Okay.
Don't be scared.
Okay, I won't be scared.
You're welcome to give more shout-outs during the questions
as well. I'm sure I will. Not done with the shout-outs.
The first question is, what's a quote or a mantra that you live by?
Quote or mantra that I live by? Ooh, that's a tough one. It sounds very trite, but I think... Live each day to the fullest. Carpe diem. Mm-hmm.
I won't judge you. I mean, that's like something you buy at Home Goods. But
that's what I feel like.
But such, that's okay.
I feel very basic saying that. But I will say that my mom died when I was a teenager. And I think that that's what's behind that idea. Like, I mean, she died when she was like 45, which is really young. Like, so I've outlived my mom, right? And I kind of think about that every day, honestly, because I'm like, oh my gosh, what did my mom not get to do? And I want to do all the things.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going out tonight after I do this podcast. Like, yeah. I'm exhausted, but I'm like, oh, life is for the living.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's also, and you're not basic, by the way, you're far from it.
Oh, thank you.
But, you know, that's also like, we're not promised tomorrow, like
that's
expressions
right.
like that.
Yeah, it's true.
What is your favorite childhood memory?
Favorite childhood memory? Gosh, these questions are hard.
Well, there's no right answer. You're not being graded or anything.
I know. I just loved going to the beach when I was a kid. My family was a beach family, and we went to this place called Kiawah Island every summer, which is this beautiful island off the coast of South Carolina. And I just have great memories of, like, riding my bike around the island. It's also a nature preserve, so you can, like, ride your bike around and see, like, alligators and herons and, like, all the animals. And I love all that. So that's a good memory.
What is a failure or mistake that you made that actually turned out for the best?
Which mistake?
You're really enjoying these questions.
I mean, you're making me think really hard. I've made a lot of mistakes. So what's a mistake that turned out to be for the best?
Mistake or failure that turned out for the best.
Yeah.
That maybe at the time seemed like a failure or mistake.
Yeah. I mean... The summer that I started the bookmobile, we didn't really talk about that as much. But the summer I started the bookmobile, I was not working for that law firm I mentioned earlier. I won't say what happened, but let's just say I was no longer working for them. And I mean, I was relieved, but I also didn't have any income coming in. So you know what they always say, never quit a job when you don't mm-hmm. already have a job. It's kind of like one of those situations.
Or the other is the best time to look for a job is when you have a
when
job.
You have, thank you. That's what I was referring to. And so in that instance, I did not have a job at the time, and I did not have a future job lined up. So I was pretty penniless. And that's the summer I started the book exchanges. And I'd gotten a small nanny job where I was actually lugging the children I was taking care of to the parks every day, which I'm sure their dad was thrilled about. But I was like, oh, they'll learn how to run a business. They'll learn how to. They're like 7 years old. I mean, when I was living that whole summer, I was like, this is the worst summer I've ever had. Like, I don't know. I mean, it was one of those situations where I was so worried about money that I couldn't think past each day. I was like, okay, how am I going to survive tomorrow and the day after that? Like the whole summer was like that. And I'd made this commitment to the parks, right, to do the bookmobile. I'd made this commitment to these kids. And I was just a bundle of stress. And I was like, I never should have left that law firm job. In hindsight, is the best move I could have ever made, because sure enough, I eventually, you know, got a great job, right? That summer, the bookmobile, it was a success, right? And so, yeah, I guess things turned out the way they were supposed to. But at the time, it definitely did not seem like it was supposed to be that way. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What issue or issues keep you up at night?
Ooh, there's a lot of them. And I know that we don't have that much time left on this podcast to list them all. Issues that keep me up at night. Illiteracy. Kids not knowing how to read. There's a thing I just learned that if a kid doesn't know how to read when they're in fourth grade, they've got a higher chance of going to prison, living in poverty, all this stuff. And Oregon actually has a big problem with this. So that's been keeping me up at night recently and wondering how the bookmobile can help with that.
Low high school graduation rates as well, right?
Correct. Yeah. So that's been, there's a documentary coming out soon about all this that I would encourage everybody to watch. I can't remember the name of it. Just keep your eyes out. But it's really going to shine a light on illiteracy. So that's one issue. You know, other issues that keep me up at night are women having control of our bodies, being able to get abortions, women's rights in general are heavy on my mind.
Mm-hmm. Especially before the election. I don't know when this comes out. I think the election will have been over. Hopefully
it will go in the direction we want it to go in. But yeah, that's heavy on my mind too. Mm-hmm.
The literacy thing, I was thinking, I wish I knew people, like I wish we could call Dolly Parton and be like, guess who's here?
Yeah.
Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're both going to talk about literacy.
Yeah. I mean, that would be amazing. And you have a big smile on your face and kind of laughing, but I'm not even joking.
Not either. I love Dolly.
No, she's amazing. She's like a hero of mine. And I mean, come on, we're both from the South and she's got her imagination library. I'm like, we are natural partners here.
Tag her and everything. I mean, just do it. Just wherever you're at.
But one of my friends texted me a few weeks ago and he's like, have you contacted Dolly yet about the bookmobile getting stolen and partnering? And I'm like, no, but I should. So I've yet to do it. I'm sorry. We need to do it. I've been really busy, Michael, but I will. I will. I mean, I'm going to write her a letter. I'll have my people contact her people. Like,
yeah.
I mean, come on. I was doing choreographed dance routines to 9 to 5 from the time I was 6 years old. Like, I am such a fan. Like, yeah, she's great.
Well, you heard it here. No.
Yeah.
We don't know. I mean,
who knows?
Who knows?
It'd be really cool. The other person I would love to get some help from is Cheryl Strayed. Shout out to Cheryl Strayed.
Absolutely. Shout out.
I just went to a writer's workshop
Wild.
Of hers. Yeah. I went to a writer's workshop of hers in New York, thinking I was going to get some alone time with her, by the way,
yeah.
Which didn't happen. There were like 300 people in that room.
It's just you two on a hike, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, she's totally going to do a fundraiser for us after I get her alone on this hiking trail and tell her all my troubles. No. I did write her a little note because she was like, if you have questions for me, put them in a basket. So I'll put my questions.
Will you be my friend?
I felt like it was like yes or no, maybe kind of thing. Anyway, I was just like, if she would do a fundraiser for the bookmobile, like maybe do a reading, you know, at maybe Alberta Theater, that would be amazing. That would be so amazing. So Cheryl, if you're listening, contact the bookmobile babe.
Write to everyone. Ask Tyler Perry. I mean, just
all celebrities.
Just add up a list.
I'm going to, Michael. Yeah. Thank you. I will.
What are you reading or watching these days?
Ooh, so many good things. I like Where the Crawdads Sing. Heard about this book?
Heard about it.
Yeah, it's great. It's about a girl who grows up in the marshes of North Carolina. There's a mystery. And I think it's also now a movie. So that's a really great one. Can't remember the author right now, but it's Where the Crawdads Sing. And then what else am I reading? I tend to read a lot of the books that the bookmobile gets before I give them to the kids because they just are so good.
Yeah, I don't blame you. We have seven nephews and a niece, and I read all those kids' books.
I love them so much. And so there's all these, like, Miles Morales. Do you know who that is?
I don't.
Miles Morales is, like, part of the Spider-Man universe, and there's a lot of
Kyle is
nodding. He's like, yeah, I'm into Miles. Shout out to Miles. Yeah, so Miles Morales is really cool.
There's those crayon books that I see all the time.
The crayon books?
Yeah, it's like crayons that do different things.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
So like each color does something different?
It's like the crayons are at a party or the crayons are...
Oh, I haven't seen this.
I've also learned, because, you know, there used to be like give a mouse a cookie, and now we're like giving a moose something. Oh, it's like they've gone through all the
animals they possibly can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all the animals are just never happy.
Of course
they
not.
They always want
of
something else.
They want something different. That's fascinating. Yeah.
Who do you want to give a shout out to the community? And you've already given shout outs, but this is actually a question.
Okay.
So who else do you want to give a shout out to? And then after that, tell us how people can get involved with Bookmobile Babe.
Great. So may I give a shout out to the people who I work with really closely on the Bookmobile Babe?
Yeah,
because of course. These people are amazing. And a lot of them are volunteering out of the kindness of their heart and they don't get paid. So Crystal Lemons, Rachel Ladd, Chris Nielsen, Jenny Roser, Shelley Magnan, Katie Mahler-Stewen. Let's see, gosh, who am I forgetting? Kristen Baumeister. Thank you all so much. These are all the people that have helped me so generously with the Bookmobile Babe. Who else am I? Oh, Sarah King with the Gateway Business Association. Thank you for being a big fan of us. And
Parks and Rec, libraries,
Multnomah County, all the local bookstores that have helped us and given us discounts.
Dolly Parton,
Cheryl Strayed, Duran. I don't know. Yeah,
Cyndi Lauper.
Exactly. I think I've given some pretty good shout outs.
Yeah,
there.
Those are great.
Those are great.
You are doing excellent work for the community. I really appreciate it.
Of course. It's a pleasure.
Keep it up.
Yeah. Oh, do you want me to talk about real quick how people can get involved?
Yes.
Great.
How
so,
can people buy you a Japanese fire truck?
Thank you for asking this. So if you go to www.bookmobilebabe.com, all one word.com, the very first thing you'll see is a big fire truck picture, Japanese fire truck picture, with our GoFundMe, and just click on that, and any amount, big or small, will help us get to that 20 grand to buy the fire truck. I think that's the best way to help us. We are taking a pause on book donations right now, but we will be able to accept books in January 2023. We are on Instagram at Bookmobile Babe. We're also on Facebook as The Bookmobile Babe, I think. And, you can always email info@bookmobilebabe.com if you have any questions or you just want to write us a fan letter. Cheryl, I'm looking at you. Cheryl Strayed. info@bookmobilebabe.com, and you can send us a love letter there.
I mean, anybody from Malcolm Gladwell to Dolly Parton,
we will take any of your emails and cash. Yeah. How about that? Yeah. But no books until January.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're amazing.
Thank you. You're amazing too. Thanks for hosting this podcast. This is really fun.
Ah, shucks. Do people say that anymore? Ah, shucks.
I like it.
You were talking about assumptions before about you being Southern, and I was like, I'm not making assumptions about you, but I wonder if she can make sweet potato pie or
I can't.
That's not a good baker.
No, my mom is like rolling in her grave right now. Like my mom and my grandmother were like the quintessential Southern cooks, and I just did not get that gene. So I'm the queen of DoorDash, unfortunately, Michael. I'm sorry to
brush DoorDash. Shout out
to DoorDash.
DoorDash, buy us a Japanese fire truck.
We could put your name on the side. Oh, no, that wouldn't work because then people think we're like delivering food. Maybe DoorDash can deliver books.
Maybe we could deliver books, put out fires, and deliver food.
And deliver meals. We'll be like a Meals on Wheels, you know, a fire truck.
Come on, DoorDash.
Yeah.
You're welcome to sponsor this podcast as well.
Yeah, feel free to hit us up. Yeah.
Kyle's
thank you again.
Laughing, this wildness. Wonderful to see you.
Great to see you too.
Have a good time going out tonight.
Will do.
You're like Sally O'Malley from SNL. I mean, 50 years old and I can kick.
I can.
Sally O'Malley, 50 years old.
That's who I
She's
am.
She's going out tonight, folks.
She's going
she
out.
Has work tomorrow at 6 a.m. I can stretch, kick, and stretch.
I can do it all. Give you a free book in the process.
Love it.
Thanks again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a great night.